Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake, the Taylor Swift podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And today we are giving you our raw, unfiltered, honest, biting, glorious opinions on the 2025 Grammys.
Biting. Wow.
Oh, I'm ready to bite.
Oh, he's ready to bite. He's ready to bite. You know,
if
I had to speak my total truth, and I feel like many people agree with me, I think that this is probably one of the best Grammys that I've seen in a very long time. It was definitely better than last year's Grammys, which is kind of crazy to say as a Swiftie, because at last year's Grammys, we got a new album announcement. But I'm talking yes. about the overall show. I thought like it was more enjoyable to watch. It was the Diva Parade, et cetera, et cetera. It was certainly better than the Grammy Awards the year before that. Bar none. It's not a hard bar to clear. So overall, I was kind of clapping and cheering.
I haven't seen a good Grammys in a really long time because, as I always call it, the in memoriam and commercial show. That's literally what it is. Mm-hmm. It's these people died. Now let's go to a break. Mm-hmm. And I hate that about it. That's my one quibble with the Grammys, that they will always drag it out more than it needs to be drug out. And a moment where I noticed like my patience was really failing was when Alicia Keys got that award. I was like, hurry up. No more of that. Enough speech. When it got to happy birthday to my sister, I was like, where's the music? We gotta cue the music and get her off the stage.
I thought it was funny that at the beginning of the award show, Trevor Noah said that they weren't gonna play anybody off stage. And I was like,
they didn't.
Why did you decide that? Like, what made you guys decide that you're not gonna play anyone off stage? Was there a reason? Did you decide that it was rude? Is it inappropriate? Like, why did you decide you're not gonna do that anymore? Because I thought that was just award 101.
Should have it.
She's not my number one target for that. Will Smith needed to be played off stage.
Oh.
His Quincy Jones story, way that he spoke, did anybody notice the way that he speaks is very like pronounced slow.
I need to 1.5 this. I was like, please, please speed this up. And also, this is not your show. Nobody cares about you. And
well, he can't go to the Diva Parade. Academy Awards. They won't let him in. So he has to go somewhere, which, by the way, I don't support. I do not support. Yeah. I supported Will Smith when nobody else would. I said, slap him again, for the record.
Slap a lot, go home.
He took over the Grammys because they're not going to take him at the next award show next month.
I thought it was very inappropriate and uninteresting, most of all. I understand, you know, we have to give our tributes, we have to give our memorials, but that one really dragged on. And it's the Diva Parade. And I think that any moment taking away from the divas at the Diva Parade is unnecessary. That was proven by the men of this evening.
Oh, it was really proven. It was shocking. It was shocking that the specific moment where it became so clear the difference in like the women and men, even just like women performers and male performers, was when they did the super medley of all the best new artist nominations. Yep. I was like, when it went from Doechii to Teddy Swims, I was like, oh.
They set him up.
I would have said, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I can't go after
they
that. I'm not going.
They set him up in ways that are, I would say, fireable offenses.
It was embarrassing. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I was in tears. I was in tears almost.
And then it went straight to Ray as well. It was like, damn, these men. The men in pop are failing. The genres of pop that we have are like bizarre, quasi-Mormon, country rock and divorced dad music. That's what we've got going on.
It's not giving. It just wasn't up to par.
I was begging for Justin Bieber. Do you understand how low I have to be?
Bring him back.
I have to be very low to be begging for Justin Bieber. Please, Justin Bieber, save us.
It is worth it to note that, thank God, there was one man all night long who actually did something moderately interesting, and his name was The Weeknd. Thank God. They made up.
That was interesting, but I have thoughts on that performance, but we'll get into that later on.
Oh, interesting.
I think that because we are the Taylor Swift podcast, we really should start with a diva who, I don't know if you felt this, but the moment I saw her show up on the carpet and what she was wearing, I was like, oh, she knows she's not winning anything.
I thought the exact same thing. Do you know what it was? It was just like, this is not the outfit of somebody who's coming in to be the monster on the hill, the star of the show. It was beautiful. She looked absolutely Gorgina, sexy. I mean, but it was like understated, and it was more, I'm here to have fun. Whereas when you saw people like Charli XCX walking the carpet, when you saw Chapel Roan walking the carpet, you saw like, these are people who are here to be the diva. They're thinking, I'm here, this is my big night, and I want to win. And Taylor was like, where's the champagne?
She said, get me Janelle Monáe's jacket stat. Yes. I'm cold. And let me rock the night away. I thought, you know what? Every time Taylor comes on the red carpet, it's a gamble. And she really knocked it out of the park this time.
Oh, I gagged. I was gagging in a big way. I was rendered silent. And it's been a long time since I've been rendered silent. The last time
we're rendered silent by Taylor a lot, but not in the ways that we would like to be.
not always in a good way. But the last time I remember being as rendered silent as I was is when she materialized in the bejeweled outfit for the VMAs.
Oh, wow. That
now I was rendered speechless.
I lost a few years. I lost a few years to that. Today, I thought, you know what? The first thing that struck me was it fits her. It fits her beautifully.
Like a glove.
It is obviously made for her. I don't know if it's custom, but it's stunning. And also, we haven't seen her in red in a really long time. And sparkly red, I was like, this is your Better Than Revenge dress from the Speak Now tour, but sexified.
You know what I was thinking about it with the color red for her is like, you know, she can wear blue and it doesn't mean anything. She can wear black and it doesn't mean anything. But because red is red, you know what I mean? Like the red era the is
associations.
Red. The associations are just like too strong. But now she's like, well, they can't possibly think that this means anything.
But they do.
But they do.
Of course
they do. You see how that works? You see how that
happens? We also had the what if he's written squirrel on my upper thigh, only in my mind.
It's squirrel spelled S-Q-U-I-R-L-E. Mm-hmm.
In case you were wondering.
That really silenced me. And it's like, I'm not trying to police anybody's thoughts, but my initial like stand-brained, are you ever going to tweet about Tay's music thought was Reputation TV. Like the first thing I thought when I saw that T, I was thinking of the T in the Look What You Made Me Do music video. That's literally the first thing I thought. So imagine my surprise when I expected people to be clowning for Reputation TV, and instead people are clowning for what if he's written T on my upper thigh, only in my mind. I was
was stupid because Guilty as Sin is so obviously, if I were Taylor and if I were Travis, I would not want us to be associated with that song specifically because it has a very specific meaning.
Yeah, and it's not even if we take the Maddie Healy out of the equation, like it's not about being together, it's about fantasizing. And I don't think a lot of fantasizing is going on. Like it's happening
together
in real life.
I thought it was either just like I'm Taylor, so T, she loves to do that. She really does. She loves to do an obvious thing.
She loves a letter T.
Or it's, you know, her little being like, you know what? I know I'm not going to win. So let me just cause some conversation. The Super Bowl is coming up. Let me just show that I love my man. He's not here. So let me just show that I love him.
I also saw a lot of conversation about how she chose the color red because of the Chiefs connotations. And I said, now I would perhaps buy that if she was also wearing yellow. Then you can grip me. But you're not going to grip me with just they own the color red because that ain't the truth.
But Taylor owns it. She owned it first and she'll own it
since. Let's talk about that. Let's have that
conversation. Do you think she's never going to wear red again if they break up?
Not on my watch.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Not
no way.
On my watch. Oh, no, no, no.
I love the look. I mean, Vivian Westwood finally did something right for her. Like the draping of it is so good. Her hair. Now, the bang. I'm getting sick of the bang.
Oh, this is interesting.
It's like a blunt, severe bang. I think I'm ready for a side bang. I'm just ready for something different. I thought her hair looked better when it was over her shoulders rather than it was back because the bang was like, doo!
Interesting. All I can say about the hair, I love when she's got her hair really done. The back shots of her hair and luscious. Absolutely Gorgina, Barbie doll hair, just absolutely beautiful. Speechless. What can I say? I was absolutely rendered speechless. When a queen walks into the room, the girls know. I also loved her jewelry. Understated. Mm-hmm. It was just
the earrings
the thigh
were
chain
so pretty.
And the earrings, just complete Gorgina. not overdoing it. And I think she has a tendency recently to overdo the jewelry, and I don't like it. This is like my number one complaint, and I don't like it. I like a stack too, but it's like the specific brand of jewelry that we're stacking, just like the thick, giant, gaudy jewelry. It's just like, I don't, that's not for me. So I liked what
I loved
saw.
To see her sticking her leg out. When she was presenting Beyonce, she like made sure to do each leg. She was like, stick leg, say a word, stand straight, stick the other leg. I was cry laughing on stream. I thought it was so funny. But as we should be seeing the leg.
I think the leg really needed to be put out there. I think the leg really needed to be put out there.
And we got it. I love the shoe.
Oh, the shoe. It was top to bottom, ladies and gentlemen. And it's rare.
And we can't stress to you how important that was. Because I really could have gotten on with last year's Grammy look if it wasn't for the atrocious hair. Last year's hair was a fucking mess.
And you know what? It's funny because both of the Torture Poets dress for last year and this red dress for this year are both Vivian Westwood. And they both are doing that like thing. You know when like it comes up like this? I hated that detail on the Torture Poets dress, but I liked it on this one. I think, again, because it fit. It was fitted and it did what it was supposed to do and like accentuate what it was supposed to accentuate. So, I mean, no notes. What do you want me to say? Everything perfect, Gorgina.
We need to be getting more sparkles as well. As soon as I saw the sparkles, I was like, yes, the hell you did. No more tartan print, no more moody visuals. I feel like to me, this is signaling to us that we're moving on from the Tortured Poets department for sure.
Well, there was really nothing Tortured Poets about it to me. I saw a couple of people trying to get there. I think it might have been Taylor Swift Styled who was like trying to get there. And I think it's because she was kind of like she had bought into the theory about written mine on my upper thigh, which is fine, whatever. But I was like, I don't really think this is saying Tortured Poets like at all. I'm not saying
not
it's
even a little
I'm not
bit.
Saying I'm not saying it's saying new era. I'm just saying it's not saying Tortured Poets. Whatever that could mean, we don't know. I'm
it's
just
giving moving
it
on.
There.
Yeah. It's giving, we're on to the next thing. I know I'm not going to win anything tonight. I did the album. I gagged you all last year. And tonight I'm just here to have fun. This is just like a high school reunion for me. I'm going to rock. Did you see her Glambot?
Yes. You know what? Glambot is like one of my favorite things in the world. I always forget about it. And then when it's back and I see them, I'm like, this is what
the award
like shows 8
second
for.
Frame of her with her eyes closed. I was like,
and why does he set them up?
They
like
need
if
to
it
just
doesn't,
cut it. Yeah, cut it from where it starts to look good. We don't need to see Taylor blinking for 8 seconds. That's not fair because she slayed the house down boots otherwise.
Yeah, like literally that first 5 seconds, once that's over, it's gag.
But it's not good when you see it. It looks weird. It looks really weird.
One thing that I absolutely really enjoyed, and this might sound a little bit negative, but I don't mean for it to sound negative. I was just kind of like, it was nice to see Taylor back in like that kind of environment because I feel like for the past couple of months, it's been at the football games, which is like, what else is she going to do? She's on break. So that's all well and good. But I just mean that it was really nice to see her back like in her kind of like terrarium as opposed
to her house.
Yeah, exactly. So I was really enjoying it. And it was nice to see her like interact with all the artists. And I just felt like, here we are. This is what we want.
We clapped and cheered for a Tay low level moment, and we're not sad that she didn't win anything. Personally, I'm not sad. Are you sad?
No. Oh my gosh. You would not believe what I'm seeing on. Have you been seeing any of this stuff on TikTok and Instagram? I feel like I've
seen. I've been seeing the Billy fans going absolutely
so
mental. Those are the people that I'm seeing acting the damn fool.
So
not
the Billy fans are acting really mental. Unfortunately, I'm also seeing the Swifties.
That's
I'm seeing
to be expected.
A lot. Well, I mean, it is to be expected from certain, you know, factions of the fandom, but it's crazy because I feel like it's all rage bait engagement farming because it's not just being like I'm sad that Taylor lost, I wish Taylor had won something. It's specifically against Beyonce. Specifically, every single video I see is like, I can't believe this trash won album of the year and Tortured Poets won nothing. It's like, this has to be rage bait engagement farming. It just has to
be. Everybody's coming for Beyonce right now. And I just find that to be despicable and disgusting. And the like conspiracy theories are out in full force.
They're
again
crazy.
About her. I'm finding it really frustrating and I won't engage. People keep commenting on it and like trying to get me to talk to them about it. And I'm like, see, the thing is with conspiracy theories is that if you give them any airtime whatsoever, you are legitimizing it. So like, I'm not talking about the stupid thank you Beyonce thing. I'm not interested in that. I'm not talking about Jay-Z. Like that is a TBD situation. And I also don't love dragging Beyonce into it just because she's there. So I'm not doing that.
No, It's of absolutely no interest to me. I'm not entertaining that. That's not what I feel like some people just really live for the tin hat and the conspiracy. If you're not flat earthing and if you're not saying the McNuggets are made out of people, you're saying Jay-Z bought Beyonce's Grammy.
Or Blake Lively is secretly in love with Justin Baldoni. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that like a lot of, I guess, like ostensibly smart people think that their specific conspiracy theory is not a conspiracy theory because they believe it's true. And I'm like, see, the thing is that
it's literally
a conspiracy.
A conspiracy theory, whether you believe it or
not. Go through the checklist. There's a very specific checklist for what a conspiracy theory is. If you are really convicted about something that does not have any like traditional true facts or reporting about it, go through the list. Go through the list and see what the fuck is up.
You got to see what we're drinking. Let
me show
you what we're drinking. And it's Kool-Aid, my friend. And it is Kool-Aid. So that is getting absolutely nothing from me. I'm not interested. Every person that I'm seeing who's saying like, I can't believe this. I'm despicable. Beyonce won album of the year over Taylor is like somebody named Kaylee Ryan.
Mm-hmm. And they're 17.
Know, with, like, incredibly blonde, incredibly white, incredibly 17. Cat on lap, you know, Pop-Tart Swiftie 13. And like, that's none of my business.
It's
and that's
none of
not my reality.
And also to the Billy fans, Phineas came and got you together. He said, don't do this in our names. Don't attack other people. But that never works. You can't call off the hounds, unfortunately. It just doesn't work.
No, it never works. It never works.
I mean, but we had a Tayonce interaction and that was very important to me in my career.
Well, I mean, full circle. I mean, think about it. Kanye West removed from the grounds. Beyonce or Taylor presenting Beyonce with an award as opposed to the other way around, which it was on that fateful night in 2009. I mean, what are the odds?
For a country music award, too. Who better to give Beyonce that award than Taylor Swift?
It makes
Grammy
you
show runners, you did one thing right.
You did one thing right. Incredible.
Why don't we get into the awards, actually? Let's discuss who won, what we thought about it. Let's start with album of the year. Beyonce, Cowboy Carter, deserved.
Changed everything. Changed the fabrics of the universe. So my tea is that, and we were talking about this just that morning, yesterday morning. I was like, everybody is predicting Cowboy Carter. I was thinking in my head, she's never going to be able to win the country vote. I was thinking like, they're just not going to vote for her. And I'm not saying that like it's a good thing. I was not happy about this, but I was thinking to myself, I don't know if these specific people who are going to continue to, for example, nominate Morgan Wallen for awards and Chris Brown for awards and like all that kind of stuff. Like, are these people really going to vote for Beyonce in a country category for a country album? When she won country album, I was like, uh-oh, it's happening.
Uh-oh, it's
if
happening.
Because I knew if she could get the country vote, then it was all bets are off.
She looked so touched when she won Best Country Album. And I really felt for her in that moment because, you know, she has just at every turn of doing this album been told that she can't do it, that she's doing it wrong, that like she's not a real country artist. And I really do think, I'm not trying to be, you know, liberal on TikTok, but like that is racism. Like the way that people have been gatekeeping country music for years, like I thought we were all operating under the same pretense that like country music is racist. There's like a lot of proof of that being true. And I think she got completely shut out of the CMA awards, obviously, because what do you think their voting academy is like? How diverse do you think that is? And the speech that the Grammy CEO speech, I mean, it was, I thought he was a little self-congratulatory getting up on stage and patting himself on the back. But I do think that it was important to like make that point that the Grammys has since Beyonce lost for Renaissance diversified immensely. Like they've made a lot of efforts and inroads with people that maybe weren't part of the Academy before to make it more reflective of the music industry now versus what it used to be. And I think that Beyonce winning country album is a really good example of how that effort has succeeded, because I think nobody would have predicted that or thought that that was going to happen, including Beyonce.
Especially because like anybody like you or myself who's been like engaging with the Grammys for a long time, this belief that like Beyonce couldn't clear a country music award was not based in her ability or like how good the album was. It was just based on what we know historically has happened in country music and at the Grammy Awards before. So it was just like, I just like literally didn't think that they were going to let that happen. And so for her to actually clear it, her being gagged to the moon and back was so genuine to me. Like she literally did not think she was going to win that award.
Specifically that one. I think she was like, oh, I'm losing that. Like, I've resigned myself to that. I'm not getting that. And I think, I mean, it's interesting. The point she made about like genres as well was so compelling to me. She was like, genres are like a tool and a box that they use to hold us back. And I think that it limits our creative inspiration, all of that. So I thought that that was really like a powerful thing for her to say. And when we look at someone like Kacey Musgraves, when she's doing Starcrossed, like there are certain songs on Starcrossed that aren't country at all. There's plenty of like just straight up pop songs on there. And she has her own issues. But I think with Beyonce, it's that you're not country. You're not country. When ostensibly, like if you listen to Cowboy Carter, Texas Hold'em, you're telling me that's not a country song? What are you talking about?
Well, especially because Beyonce is like from the South. Beyonce is a Southern woman, and she's always had that as part of her identity. So it's like if a woman from Houston, Texas can't make a country album, then who can?
Who can? Exactly. And that is the point that I think needs to be driven home to a lot of the people that are saying that. A lot of people are also saying it's just a token award, and I just don't agree. We've talked about this at length. Like Cowboy Carter and Beyonce, a very accomplished effort, even if we don't personally listen to it all the time.
No, and you know what? Yaya, greatest song ever made. Many people are saying this. Tyrant, greatest song ever made. Many
River
people
Dance.
Are saying this.
Many people are doing Irish jigs in a country way.
And cracking
with country
our, and
in their
cracking
heart.
Our hand-painted boots in our
that
says
Swiftologist on them.
Yes,
exactly.
Precisely.
Well, congratulations, Beyonce. We give you your flowers. We appreciate you. Let's talk about Best New Artist.
So now that was kind of a gag that the world should have seen coming. The thing is, Best New Artist was stacked. So I was like, it should be Chapel, but it should also be Wright, but it should also be Doechii, but it should also be Sabrina. But in my heart of hearts, I knew my truth, which was that I need to see a Chapel win. And when it happened, I grinned, I shrieked, I clapped, I cheered, and I knew that she was gonna put her happy ass on that stage and say something. I could not in a million years have predicted what she was gonna say. It silenced me, it gagged me, it gagged the entire room. Nobody could believe what was happening right in front of their very eyes. And to think about, like, it's not just like artists in the room, it's also like when Trevor Noah
producers.
Was talking about like all the people who are up in the boxes, like all these incredibly wealthy, like literally shadow people who have so much money and who are probably some of the people who have like the most pull in the music industry to make something like this happen. To be able to like, you could see how nervous she was too. Like she was terrified to be up there talking in front of all these people. Her voice was shaking. And I was like, this is the power of women. Do you see this? This is
it
the
was
power
so brave.
Of women. It was crazy.
She really, I think the ethos that she has is like, okay, if you're going to let me into the establishment, like my responsibility when I get in there is to at least like make an effort of some description to make it better for other people that aren't in the position that I'm in. And there are like limits of what you can do, obviously, but like no one else has ever said anything like that. Like no one else has ever taken like that microphone in that moment and platformed to people at home, to artists, to other songwriters and producers in the room who are shoved in the back, not given a seat at the table, who are struggling to like make ends meet off of the measly royalties that the streaming companies have like stolen from them, basically. Chapel to getting up there and saying like, it was such a specific ask as well. It was like, we need to be giving artists under development and people that, you know, aren't necessarily raking in the big bucks yet. We need to treat these people like humans and give them a job because they're working. Like if you do a job in the United States, generally you get some health insurance. And when you're working for a record label, why is that not the case? They just treat you like an independent contractor forever. And while also like stringing you along with your dreams, it's not fair.
Right. And I think that Chapel has a really, and she told her own story and she has like a specific, unique perspective on it. And I think sometimes when people think about artists, they tend to think about like Taylor Swift or like Beyonce or The Weeknd or like all of these really big names. And it's like, many people are Benson Boone and they don't even have enough money for their leotards. They don't even have
exactly.
enough money for their leotards, let
exactly.
alone the way that he leapt out of his seat to cheer. I was like, he's got $10. He needs a hot dog.
He needed the health insurance.
He needs 99 cents
and
a
six pack.
So bad. And you know what? Chapel in that moment was speaking for Benson Boone, among many others.
Uh-huh.
Among
many
others,
other
but...
born and beaten artists in the industry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I think, you know, it's brave because doing that kind of stuff can get you kicked out. can get you like removed from the establishment very quickly. So the fact that she's taking her one shot, I think she, in her mind, she's like, you know, I'm going to probably piss these people off again at some point. So I might as well like make my point while I have the most attention directed on me. And I thought she boosted it. I also thought that the notebook was hilarious.
I love, and her little diary, it just absolutely kills me. The, there's something so endearing about it. Like, I just
it's
love
so
it.
Earnest.
Why are you bringing
and
your diary
in years
to
gone
the
past? In years gone past, they would have musicked her off real fast.
Mm. But you know what? You can't be doing that when half an hour, 45 minutes later, you're the CEO of the Grammys and you're getting up there talking about we're doing so much better now. You can't get the cane out and scoop Ethel Cain.
No.
Chavlerone
off the stage. You can't.
There couldn't be two more. I don't know what kind of slip that was. That was so strange.
They would never let her up there to begin with. But they're not getting Chapel off.
No.
Chapel was saying Free Luigi.
Oh, she was.
She's saying Free Luigi. He's hot.
She was saying
Free
Luigi. She was saying, I am a Luigi stan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have to deal with it.
And I do it too for a check.
Yeah. And for a check? Are you kidding me?
Many of us would.
Many of us would. Oh, yeah.
Of charge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy.
So best new artist. We love Chapel and her cone. Thank you so much, Queenie. We love that about you. Record and song of the year to Kendrick Lamar for Not Like Us. I was very surprised that he swept both.
I think I was surprised as well when he won. I can't remember what was first. I think it was record. When he won record, I was like, now this just makes sense. And I was clapping. I was cheering. But I definitely wasn't really thinking about him so much for the second award because I was like, it does make sense for the song of the year to also be the record of the year if you think about it. But I was kind of thinking, I mean, again, I was thinking Chaperone Sweep. That was my mindset the whole night long. So anytime a name was uttered that wasn't Chaperone, Sabrina Carpenter, I was like, oh, okay.
It's over. Yeah. Well.
But I mean, it is kind of true. That was kind of like my immediate reaction was like, that's true. It's
the thing
true.
Is, it's like you can't really argue with it. But again, that's the beauty of having a stacked category is that like at a certain point, there's like everybody deserves this. So whoever gets it, you know, they all kind of won in a way just by being nominated against each other in this very competitive year. But record of the year, I was kind of sad that didn't go to Espresso. I was really rooting for Espresso. I just think that it is like so difficult to create a pop song that is that characteristic and unique, but also like so simple and like silly and fun. And what I've noticed at every award show, people go sicko mode for Espresso. The VMAs, when she started doing Espresso, people cheered. Every time Espresso or Sabrina actually was up for an award, the crowd went wild. When she did her performance, the crowd was going crazy. So to me, like Espresso really was the record of the year. And I would have been happy for a song of the year to go to Not Like Us because I feel like the writing is really what gagged everybody about it. I wouldn't say the production is like especially interesting for especially by Kendrick Lamar's standards. So if I had my way, it would have been Record of the Year, Espresso, and Song of the Year, Good Luck, Babe. I was really sad not to have an award for Good Luck, Babe because it was just such an authentic, organic hit.
I definitely agree on Good Luck, Babe. I mean, again, Chaperone Sweep. That was my mindset. Mm-hmm. That was my mindset. But
that was
also
your heart.
Sabri Lovett. I'm telling you, Sabri Lovett. The people love a Sabrina Carpenter moment. Honestly, there were a lot of like really iconic performances. So at the end of the night, I had kind of like forgotten about Sabrina's performance, but then I remembered and I was like,
oh,
it was a gag.
I never forgot.
It's one of those moments that's like really going viral right now. And I keep seeing people talking about it because she was doing the like little comedy routine at the beginning, which she's so
good at. Ginger Rogers stuff.
And she's so cute and so funny and just like so charismatic. She's a little out of breath, but like, I don't really care about that.
She was dancing her ass off.
She was dancing her entire ass off for that crowd. And I was clapping and I was cheering.
Her dancing actually gagged me, but we'll get into the performances in a sec. I think, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, I'm okay with what happened. Also, it, as you said, Madeline, it neutralizes the Stan Wars. You'd think it would, but it worked.
And that's the
too.
Scary part. And that's the scary part. And that's none of my business. I'm saying, Kendrick Lamar, congratulations. And I will see you at the Super Bowl with you know who? SZA.
S-Z-A.
And a potential, they're talking about it. Bad blood on the Super Bowl stage. It's more likely than you think.
I'm talking
Although,
about it.
My truth is, I would think if I was Taylor, I would be like, do I really want to pull focus from Kendrick on his big night? I wouldn't mind it. is what I'm trying to say.
I would be clapping and cheering.
I would understand it if it doesn't happen. I'm not like expecting it. But if it did happen.
I think Taylor's also reserving her Super Bowl appearance for when she does it, when she does the halftime show. And I'm suddenly renewed in interest in her doing that because I think, you know, if the Chiefs are still going, it would really be a powerful moment to have
together. Remember when we used to talk about this all the time? But this was before, think about this. This was before Midnights. We used to talk about Super Bowl Taylor halftime performance. And we used to say, she doesn't have the catalog. Who said that?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Did we say that?
Can you imagine thinking that today? Oh, you said it. Oh, this was a whole conversation.
I definitely did not say it. No way. Don't accuse me of something that I did.
I remember. But I accept if you don't remember, I'm going to let you. I'm letting you off the hook.
I'm letting you off the hook.
But I do remember we didn't want it to happen for whatever reasons that we didn't want it to happen. Now
we
I'm like,
insane.
Let's go.
Let's get our asses up. Tortured poets. Entire tortured poets set for the Super Bowl. Everyone boos. Madeline and I are going, it's crazy. We're in the crowd.
Well, we were talking about getting tickets to go to the Super Bowl. And then we saw how much the tickets cost. And we were like, that's
and
not
we said,
happening.
Nope.
That's not happening.
Well, if Taylor's going, we're there. If Taylor's going,
at least
we're
could
there.
Be, at least we could be tailgating, eating hot dogs and you know, mushrooms out in the
We'll be there
lot.
Watching the stream outside. You'll see us. Don't worry about it. We'll be there. So I guess those are the big four awards. I thought Charlie XCX, she won 3 Grammys, very deserved, swept the dance and electronic categories as she should.
Von Dutch. And I knew that from day one. People aren't recognizing it. You notice how it people were saying Apple, people are saying 360. I always knew.
It's okay
knew.
To just admit that you're jealous of me.
From
it's
day
okay.
one, that is the song. And she knows it too. Why do you think she opened her performance with it? Some of us have been knowing it. And I clapped and I cheered.
I knew you were going crazy when that performance started. Oh. I knew it. I knew that there was somewhere in this world you were losing your mind. Yeah,
it's okay to just admit that you're jealous of me.
It's okay. Just admit it. So then we also had, I think Sabrina won 3 awards in total, which I was very happy with. She won Pop Vocal Album, which was an interesting stacked category.
I really could not have predicted. It was so stacked. I literally had no idea who was going to win. I thought maybe Taylor could.
Yeah,
cook
I
it.
Thought she might get that one.
Maybe, and then I thought maybe Chapel could cook it, and I thought maybe Sabrina could cook it, and then in the end it was Sabrina, and I clapped and I cheered. I was happy, and I think
everybody
true.
Was happy.
So true.
Everybody That's was so happy true. With that. I think for me, if the only I really, really wanted Chapel to win Best New Artist. That was the one to me where I was like, she has to win this. And if she doesn't, it's insurrection time. And I was kind of like, I was disappointed that she lost in other categories. But also, you know what? We got Best New Artist. And that's the truth.
And it's true. And that's what people need to be recognizing. I pretty much was kind of cool on Best New Artist, like any of those people winning, as long as it wasn't Benson Boone or Teddy Swims, I was like, as long as it's not either of those
Everyone
two,
else deserves.
I rock. Everybody else deserves.
Well, we also had, in terms of awards that were won, not Taylor Swift and Gracie Abrams for Us, which I cheered about.
Oh, I was cheering. I was like, you know what? There's not a chance in HE double hockey sticks that is happening. I already knew it was Gaga and Bruno. I said, they're taking the stage. They may
the
as well
way,
already be up there.
The way they didn't even have good video footage to play in the like intro reel to the nominations, they had grainy Eras Tour screen footage of the two of them singing it together. I was like, you see, now there's a sneak here.
And everybody knows it. Everybody in that room knew what was going on, including Taylor. She was like, who
yeah, I can't believe I made it in here. I can't believe I made it in here. So nothing for Taylor, nothing for Gracie, nothing for Post Malone, as it should.
I absolutely loved Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga's acceptance speech. First of all, how gracious they were to each other. That was amazing. I mean, we love friendship and we love creative friendships most of all. But second of all, what Lady Gaga said about the transgender community. I mean, it was just women taking the stage all night long and saying things that needed to be said.
We've been needing Gaga back, okay?
We need her
every
back.
Time we need her, she rises. Like every time there's something to do with gay marriage, you hear her ears perk up and she starts rah, rah, ah, ah, ah. I mean, it has to happen.
Gaga seems like particularly aware of like the community that has given her platform and her name and like her legacy. She will never be quiet as a result.
No, she's committed to being an ally.
Yeah. And I
let's talk about the Gaga song, actually. Why not? That. Ooh. Oh,
it
my
was
God.
A welcome reprieve from a commercial. I'll tell you that for free.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you.
It's a commercial I would watch over and over again.
What does she say at the beginning of it? It's like, I command you to.
Oh, she says, I command you to dance for your life.
Down.
Dance for
oh,
your
yeah.
fucking life or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, something like that. And I was like, I was locked and loaded. You know what it reminded me of quite a lot? The visuals for Alejandro.
That was my first thought.
I was like, this is giving OG Gaga in a way that we have been needing. Some people said it just sounds like any other Gaga song. I don't think so,
A. I don't think so. I think it sounds new.
B, I think that even if it did, that's kind of like the point. She's doing OG.
She's Lady Gaga.
She's Lady Gaga. Ever heard of her? She's not going to put the
Clearly
hat
not.
Back on. If you want her to put the brimmed hat back on, that's not coming
We're not
up
doing
Sarah.
Joanne.
I'm sorry. Mm-mm. We're not doing Joanne anymore. We're not
and
doing...
And praise be to God for that.
You know, her sim dance thing that she does. We're not doing that either. No. We're doing Gaga.
The
get
choreo
on the trainer,
gagged me. The looks gagged me. Her presence, as always.
Amazing.
It seems like a perfect like encounter between the Fame Monster and Born This Way aesthetic vibes.
Ooh.
And I'm really, really ready and seated for that.
Oh, I'm seated. And Abracadabra, in my opinion, is... quite a better
infinitely better than disease.
It just like it packs a bigger punch, and I don't know, it just has that essential Gaga-ness to it. It has that like you can immediately picture yourself like in the club going crazy to this song, and everybody knows it. It's just like it's like one of those songs that you hear and you're like insta hit, and I like
it's the
it.
First time I've seen Lady Gaga in a while and been like mother monster.
There she is. We needed it. And if we needed her, I saw a tweet today that said that Lady Gaga is a harbinger of the recession. Because like every time you need her, that's when she shows up.
She appears.
That Gaga's back. We're in bad times, but she's going to get us through it.
She's
going
to
get us through it. She's got us.
We're going to abracadabra, baba, ulala, rah,
yeah,
rah,
oh,
rah,
oh,
all the way
yes,
through.
All the way through it. And thank
I
God
I would be
for
doing that.
That. I really enjoy that. And I thought it was a brilliant sort of promotional ploy to play your entire music video during the commercials for the Grammys.
Great
I know she
night
prayed
for Gaga.
Pretty penny.
She performed, she
yep.
won, mm-hmm. and she premiered a new song.
And I clapped and I cheered. Again, another woman to add to the list of divas. I mean, what do you want me to say? Mm-hmm. It was quite literally
the diva parade. It was. And mm-hmm. and that honestly is everything that the Evolution of a Snake podcast stands for.
It's pretty
and
divas.
It better happen again this year mm-hmm. because the men are not promising. No, they're not.
They're not. They're just not.
They're not doing good work.
No.
Shall we get into the performances?
Well, yes. So I have mine ranked.
Oh, I forgot. Dan Nigro, Amy Allen, both won Songwriter and Producer of the Year.
And
we
know
cheered.
What? Dan Nigro, Producer of the Year win is in and of itself a Chaprina sweep win. So I took
yes.
it as my own personal. I was like, okay, I was right the whole time.
Yeah.
Chaprina sweep.
Right.
You see how that works? And
it
Amy
happened.
Allen win too. It was literally Chaprina sweep. In all
it happened
ways
in ways
that
you couldn't
mattered.
Even imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So there you go. Dan Nigro, deserved. Amy Allen,
King.
More than deserved, period.
King. Queen.
I also saw there was an audience clip of Jack Antonoff and Dan Nigro hugging. And I was like, well, we've been needing this.
We like to see that.
Because there's been some kind of like speculation about, you know,
delusional
maybe,
stand nonsense.
Delusional stand
but
nonsense.
But also maybe not delusional stand nonsense. Also, I forgot there was also an element
There's
of
There's also been like a couple little comments and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes you never know like what's coming from a moment of frustration and what's coming from I fucking hate this person. You know
also,
what I mean?
Meeting someone in person is very different to encountering them in a business sense. I'm sure that every time Taylor has actually interacted with Olivia Rodrigo, she has been nothing but gracious and sweet. But in those cease and desists or in those legal letters that are coming from one team to another, I don't think she's the same way. But when
well,
you see her in person,
that,
she's your best friend.
There's lots of conversations about these little interactions that were going on in the audience. I think those are going to go behind the paywall, baby. So you're going to
yep.
have to patreon.com/withologist.
You want to hear us do actual yeah. speculation on that yeah. and the hateration of it all? We will be there. You yeah. can see us. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into the performances. Who do we have up first, Madeline?
So, as we all know, the opener of the Grammys, if you want to call it that, her name is Sabrina Carpenter. And she
the
took
star
the stage.
Of the
star,
Grammys.
The diva. Miss Piggy extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Some people see that. Some people see Miss Piggy. I see it. Every single time.
You're
going
to have
I
to clarify that because people are going to think that you're calling her fat.
Okay. So
just to let you know.
Let me be very clear. Miss Piggy.
Madeline loves Miss Piggy, first of all.
First of all, I love Miss Piggy. And second of all, she is a diva among divas. The fact that I even have to clarify this is crazy to me, but I know it has to be done. Like, just because Miss Piggy is a pig, quite literally a pig, and is a full-figured female, I can't believe I have to be like, I'm not, you know what I mean? But it's like, I understand.
You do.
She's
you know
a diva. She has a big head of beautiful blonde curls on top of her head, and she's always in a beautiful outfit, and she's always serving slapstick comedy. I mean, this is 101.
It's Sabrina she's was doing Miss Piggy.
She's Sabrina is a Muppet.
Are you hearing this?
And
you hearing
to me,
this?
It's always a compliment. I've been trying to go as Miss Piggy for Halloween for 5 years, but Mason won't be.
Well, it's time.
He refuses.
That's unconscionable, actually.
But I'm going to get him. In any event, it was her performance was Miss Piggy, yes, but it was also a direct reference to Goldie Hawn. Now that is a diva for the ages. Many of us are saying this.
Many Sabrina's doing her work in terms of like constructing her pop legacy out of actually interesting references. And this is what I always felt was missing from her pop career before Short and Sweet, is that it felt algorithm generated. It felt like designed for the Spotify playlist, whereas like these performances feel really authentic to her as a person, not even just her as an artist. Like her performance, the little skits that she does, the Ginger Rogers thing, there's a little even like a Lucille Ball element to it all. Like she is a silly, campy, glamorous girl. And that is coming through so clearly in every public scenario that we encounter her in, whether it's making out with an alien or knocking the house down and getting spun around and laughing at the top of her voice, the Grammys. She's performing.
I also feel like all these performances, I say all these performances, but like her tour, the VMAs, this performance of the Grammys, it's all very like short and sweet. You know what I mean? Like it feels themed. It feels like it has a point of view. It feels like it has even her Christmas special. I was like, this is all very short and sweet. So I really like that everything in this era has felt so packaged up and tied up with the bow. And it always feels like so authentically Sabrina. The performance was everything and more. It was everything and more.
Oh, it was everything and more. Multiple outfits, first of all. Multiple
outfits.
The quick
change is coming back. Everybody's doing a quick change these days. And who pioneered that? Who pioneered it? Let's say
a girl who stood there and sang, should have said no.
On her guitar.
Her CMA stage or wherever the fuck it was, and they ripped her clothes off and they swapped her mic and she sang Under the Rain. Okay?
Heard
of it? Capiche? So I thought also the interlude of Please, Please, Please was perfect. I was not hoping that she would ditch Espresso and go completely into Please, Please, Please. We got just the right amount. And then when she said, I'm working late, I'm a singer, I said, we're so back. We are so back.
I was very happy with it from start to finish. Jesus was seen.
She was line dancing. She was literally seen. Tap dancing, Irish jigging. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't familiar with Sabrina's dance game. She was actually doing choreo.
Well, back in the day, and I always forget about this. Do you know, I encountered this when I was looking for a movie to watch the other day. She has a Netflix movie where she stars as like the leader or like of a dance team.
She's lived like 10 lives.
She dances. She literally has like 10 lives. She used to, I think they were really trying to push her as like a dancer girl. And I do think that she's good at it and she can kind of deliver it. But I don't think it's her strongest suit to dance and sing at the same time, which is why now we don't see enough of it because she hasn't quite gotten there and figured it out yet. But
turn the track on is what I'm saying. Turn the track on. Let the track play.
You know what? Do the Tate McRae. Baby, do it. Get down. Do the Tate McRae. Come on. Everybody loves it. Yeah.
So Espresso great. Song of the Century, it really was. I thought that was one of the best performances of the night.
It was my – how did I rank it? I think I have it at number three. It's my number three, baby. It's in my top five. Thank you, Sabrina, for the queendom.
Who's up next? Who do we have up next?
So up next, I believe we have Miss Billy. Miss Billie Eilish. So Miss Billie, I love the backdrop. I like that she was including pictures of her and Phineas as little kids and kind of made like they're like the birds of a feather. I thought that was really cute.
I didn't realize the song was about her brother. Is it? Or was that just like a flavor that she added for the performance?
Honestly, I don't listen to it enough to be like a store song.
I mean, it's not it's not a specific song. I don't think it's kind of
I took it as romantic, but it could also be platonic. It could be about friendship or it could be about your brother. So I thought that was really cute. She always looks great. She sounded great. I cheered.
Billie's face card is really undeniable. She's gorgeous.
Literally, her eyes go to the depths of your soul.
And then Phineas comes on the screen and I close my eyes.
Yeah. His bob, him and Gracie Abrams is matching bobs. A bitch with a bob.
I don't want to see it. The performance to me, I have to say, and you know, the Billy stands always want to come for me, but you know what? That will never stop me from speaking my truth. It was boring. Like compared to all the other performances that night, it wasn't that interesting. I thought the stage setting was good, but I guess like, you know, I thought Billy's Happier Than Ever performance at the Grammys. Now that was something, but I suppose Birds of a Feather is like a low key song. So it couldn't really have that big of a moment, but I found it to be, of all the performances this evening, very forgettable.
Well, also if you think like comparatively to her performance of What Was I Made For last year, that performance was so much of a focus on her vocal ability and it was absolutely beautiful. So it wasn't like all the flash or anything like that, but I still preferred it to the Birds of a Feather performance just because, you know, the Birds of a Feather performance, I liked it, but it's not in my top five. And I agree that it was a little bit, compared to the rest of what was going on in the night, a little bit more forgettable.
So that's how we feel about that. Period.
So Billie Eilish, Sabrina. Okay, so then we get Chapel Roan. Now, this was a gag for the century. This was my number one of the evening. This quieted me in a way that I've never been quieted. And you know what I really like the most about it is that she could have done, and she kind of did, like, make it over the top with, like, all the rodeo clowns and, like, all the dancers and the big giant pony, but it kind of felt like all of those performances you've seen at Pink Pony Club, like, a million times before. It was just, like, a Chapel Roan performance of Pink Pony Club dialed up to 1,000, and it felt, like, so authentically Chapel, as compared to her VMA's performance of Good Luck, Babe, where I kind of felt like
she got
there
lost
was something disconnected because she was doing too much. And I think she realized that. And she was like, I'm going to go back to putting on my Pink Pony Club outfit. I'm going to do my dirty dancing, crawling across the stage thing at the end of the song like I do every night on my tour and every time I perform it at a festival. And it moved me to tears. And my favorite part of the performances during the bridge, when you could see that she was like thinking about crying and then said, and like you could see in her eyes, like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. But I could see it when she was talking about everybody back in
every
Tennessee.
Saturday.
I can't even talk about that. So that that was absolutely Georgina. Plus Cam, who is a favorite dancer from the Eras Tour, was in the performance. Here's one
we
of the radio
love to
clowns.
See that. So, we love to see that.
You see how
I
that
think
works?
This was a devastating loss for people who are afraid of clowns. Devastating loss for you. Not your favorite thing in the world. But I have to say, I thought that it was fairly iconic. I think it would actually be tied with Sabrina for my favorite performance of the evening. I thought that picking Pink Pony Club, which was not a song that was nominated for anything, was really smart because it's a song, it's an ode to the place that made Chapel feel like she could be herself and could in turn write Pink Pony Club and end up on this stage at some point. So it felt like a really gorgeous homage to that. Also very fitting that it was in LA and we had the fires as a big topic of conversation at the Grammys. Right. So it felt like it really, I think the LA community really needed to feel and hear that in that moment. Like we still have a place to be proud of, like we can rebuild, all of these things. I thought that was amazing. And I mean, the significance of Chapel Roan just never ceases to expand. I thought her vocals, I'm always really blown away by Chapel's live vocals. Like
she sounded amazing.
Fucking sing under any condition.
She
gives.
Absolutely incredible. Just like flawless execution. She really worked hard at her breath control and you can tell. Like she
confident. Yeah. She's so confident. I never get the sense that she feels nervous.
Which is a good thing. Even if on the inside she's like panicking, you can never, ever, ever tell. And she just delivers 100% every time.
And she had the whole room singing Pink Pony Club.
Everybody knew the words. Everybody knew the words. Alicia Keys knew the words. Mm-hmm. Alicia Keys.
Because it's the song.
It's the song. And I feel like it's one of those songs that it just reaches everybody on some level. And there's something to be said, man. I'm going to keep on dancing.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep
You don't even
on
need to be
dancing.
A gay queen to get into it. It's really just about like, yeah. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy and I won't let anything from my past hold me back from moving forward. And I think that's a message everyone can relate to no matter who you are and what you're going through.
There's something so like anthemically timeless about it too. Like I could see the song getting played in 15, 20 years. I'm telling you, this is a new Uptown Girl. I'm saying it.
And it's a weird song too. It really is weird. Like Pink Pony Club, what is that? But you know. But you know.
Mason the other day, he asked me if it was real. And I was like, I think I remember her saying it's based on a bar in West Hollywood, but it's not real.
No, it's not. The Pink Pony Club's not an actual place.
It should be.
It is in your heart. It's a place in your heart.
Well, we were saying somebody who works with Mason, they did karaoke of Pink Pony Club at the Christmas party, and they changed it so it was the name of the bar that we were at. And I think about it all the time. And I'm like, literally, there's a Pink Pony Club in every town in America. I'm going to keep on dancing wherever I am. And that's the power of the Pink Pony Club and of Chapel Roan. Thank you. You hear that?
Actually, I'm going to revise my statement. I think I have to do Chapel and Sabrina Tide performance of the year for me.
Period. Say it. Say it loud. Say it proud.
I've said it. Who's next?
So let's see. I think next up we have the mega. Yes, we have the mega best new artist.
Doechii. I was not familiar with your game. I wasn't familiar with how good of a performer she is. I've seen her music videos and stuff, but that doesn't always translate live, you know? Like, you can have a really good presence to camera, but Doechii live was like times 10.
It rendered me incapacitated. It was my number two performance of the night. It was absolutely incredible. And I've seen her before. I saw her with Tyler, the Creator, and I saw her with SZA. Like, obviously I wasn't physically there. You would have heard about that by now. But I saw videos of it. And she's captivating. She's charismatic. She's compelling. It's like you're completely locked into everything that she's doing. She never seems out of breath. She's a performer of the highest order. And the fact that both Benson Boone, who went right before her, he kicked it off. And then Doechii did a costume change. And the difference in the degrees of performance, he was flipping around and adjusting his cock and balls on
stage.
He
literally had cock and balls out. I'm going to scratch my junk.
Because there comes Doechii to steal the show. It was incredible.
We forgot even to start with Benson Boone.
He went straight to Doechii. It's completely irrelevant.
What's the point?
She is, honestly, I think if we're talking about like women in rap right now, I really think it's Megan Thee Stallion and Doechii, which is crazy because I only really discovered Doechii within the last 3-4 months. And now it's like, I can't remember life.
Who you were before it. I have to also just, the costuming and the styling of her performance was really, really incredible too.
It just like has such a clear, everything she wore all night. I'm not versed in what she's trying to channel, like what her inspirations are, any of that stuff, but like her
I'm getting
red
office
carpet,
siren.
Yes, it's like so interesting. It's like her red carpet and what she was wearing when she accepted her award, and then also what she was wearing on stage and what all her dancers were wearing. It's like, what? I'm
like
seeing
a very
vision.
Kind of contemporary conservative look. You know what I mean? I don't mean politically conservative. I mean, like,
just,
you know,
like,
it's dressed
up,
buttoned up, but like, she dresses it down in a really interesting way.
And it's really interesting to see something like that in a performance like that during like a hip hop performance, to see like this like buttoned up sort of a look. It like really kind of is an interesting,
the juxtaposition of it.
I mean, it's an artiste. We're talking about an artiste. That's all there is to it. She's doing things that are in different areas.
Doechii, we love you. Doechii, you're a queen.
Doechii.
Let's rewind for 1 second to Benson Boone. As soon as he grabbed the mic out of the pocket of his blazer, I said, I need to turn the volume down. Turn it down, down, down. He's going to start screaming. And his costume change was horribly executed.
It took him a long time
to get that off. Wasn't good
really
for him.
Poorly.
J-Lo was there, so strike two.
J-Lo,
sitting there.
They kept, somebody
was
pointed out, they
disrespectfully
kept panning to her. Like again and again, whenever
she was
Benson Boone was on screen, they kept looking at, because she was interested in what was going on there. I'm saying, Benson Boone, you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
His leotard was a Party City extravaganza moment.
That really did not look like
a high quality garment.
He needs Chapel Roan to get him health insurance. He needs it bad. He can't even afford his leotard.
He can't.
Party
he can't
City.
Get one that fits. It looked itchy. Didn't look
it
fun.
It looked really, really itchy.
He flipped for no discernible. That song does not warrant a flip, okay? Few songs warrant a flip.
Did you know? People were saying, there was like a tweet that
Pink
was going
Pony
around.
Pink Pony
Club
that
was needs
like, a flip, actually.
Oh, Pink Pony Club needs a flip. But there was a tweet that was going around that was like about Benson Boone. It said, into every generation, there is an Imagine Dragons. Well, it turns out the Imagine Dragons guy is the person who signed Benson Boone. You see how that works?
That makes so you much see how that sense. Works. With Benson Boone, it's and Teddy Swims, who we're going to talk about also. Like, who is it for? Who's the stan of Benson Boone? Who is the stan of Teddy Swims? There are Dochi stans. There are Sabrina Carpenter stans. There are Chapel Roan stans. Who's stanning Benson Boone?
There are people out there that are requesting Teddy Swims at every function, everywhere I go. I've never heard a full Teddy Swims song because I always turn it off, but it's on somewhere.
Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. I also, you know, when I see an unwashed man, I'm not interested. And that's how I feel when I see Teddy Swims.
To have...
And Post Malone, too. The two of them.
Yeah, I mean... And Jelly Dirty Roll, boys. Too. Jelly Roll as well.
Throw him in there.
Throw him right in there. I thought that it was really shocking to go Benson Boone, Dochi, and then Teddy Swims. When it switched from Dochi to Teddy Swims, that quieted me.
The silence in the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
And the way they put him on like a B stage at the back of the room as well. It was not. It wasn't kind. But they knew.
They knew what they had. They were in there during dress rehearsal and they witnessed what Dochi was going to do. And they were like, uh-oh, we can't do anything now.
We're going to beam Teddy Swims in from next door. Why don't we do that?
How are we going to get Teddy Swims to be as interesting as that? You can't. You can't.
You can't.
You can't.
He stands there and he does his divorced dad song. And then you go, okay, next. Then we had Ray, who sang
The diva.
The hell out of that song.
The way
she
that
sang
she sings,
her ass off.
Her vocal control is out of this world in a way that I've seldom experienced. The layers to it. The way that she emotes her facial expressions. I love the way that she wears her microphone cord around her neck, too. That always kind of sends me. I keep seeing it. She's also never wearing shoes. I mean, this is
never.
A diva.
It really does give Amy Winehouse. That was my first recollection. It's like a more polished, a more together version of what Amy did. And that is a compliment of the highest order.
It really is. Yeah. No, she gives a little bit Amy, a little bit Adele. Just like this just Gorgina. Always so eleganza. Just like classic, beautiful. Vocals
and so expressive too. Yeah. So expressive.
I have that song on a couple of playlists, Oscar winning Tears, and I find that it's different live. Like, it's so much better live. It's crazy. It's like I'm locked
she's,
in.
She's an artist you want to see a show of.
She's incredible.
So Boots, thank you to the Best New Artist medley for being women.
Now let's see, what do we have next? Oh, Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga doing California Dreaming.
Right.
Now that I understand the vision. I understand what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gaga needed to put on that getup. I don't think. I was like doing something and I looked up and I was like,
it was
what
giving
is
Manson
going on?
Family. The performance, the song, the theme, it was giving Manson Family Ranch.
It was. And you know what? I thought she sounded beautiful. And I love that song, California Dreaming. One of our greatest songs ever of all time. But
I also was saying, where's Die With a Smile? Let's just do that.
At that point, and I would have clapped and cheered. Because that's what we came here to see, didn't we? I mean, hello.
I let them cook, but that was not what I wanted to see, personally.
And then after that, we had the Grammy CEO coming out and... doing his
Let's
speech
talk about this.
And then announcing The Weeknd, which is, I thought it was kind of like, obviously there's a reason for it. And like, I think The Weeknd is also like one of those artists who is just like associated with LA. And I mean, he's always talking about LA and like LA is definitely like a homestead for him. So it made sense for him to be there. And obviously this is a huge big deal. I was really surprised that it was The Weeknd. I said this, I thought it was going to be, we're giving Beyonce a retroactive Grammy for Renaissance.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, get up there.
As soon as they flashed The Weeknd headline, I was like, oh no, this is the big superstar secret performance that we have coming up. Okay. I think, you know, it was important to remind everyone that the Grammys have made an effort to, you know, make themselves better. It did feel very self-pat on the back. I'm the CEO and I'm like touting all of my accomplishments, which I just don't like under any circumstance. And I mean, The Weeknd is one example of that problem, but I wouldn't even say it's the best problem because I think the people that really suffer, he has won Grammys. The people that really suffer from this are like smaller artists that have really insane breakthrough years and don't get the same recognition that they are owed because of the way that the Grammys were set up for a long time. And so that didn't feel like the best way to make the point. And I honestly also, I have to say, who cares? It was touted up as this like big thing, the weekend's big return, but it was the Diva Parade and I wasn't asking and I wasn't checking for that. And I listened to the weekend's new album and I felt like it's the same thing over and over again. Like I'm not seeing the iteration of the craft, and like his performance again is always the same thing. I'm shrouded in mystery. I'm not lit properly. I'm singing my song. I have like a freaky deaky stage and then that's it.
I think that with The Weeknd's new album and like with his performance right now, he's kind of like touting that like this is the end of The Weeknd. This is going to be my last project as The Weeknd. To a point, I think that the album being like a very The Weeknd album to that end kind of like makes sense, and like why he's doing this whole thing and like being The Weeknd, because for all we know, next year he's not going to be The Weeknd anymore. So I'm not saying that I'm spinning the whole thing front to back. I definitely think that a lot of the new Weeknd album sounds like edgy elevator music, which is the way a lot of Weeknd music has sounded to me before. I've pulled a few songs. The thing that I like about The Weeknd, I always find him to be a more interesting performer than a lot of his peers in the male artist community. And I feel like if we just compare him,
he at least has his own thing.
He's doing his own little thing. I really like him vocally. I like the way that he sounds. I love the sound of his voice. But it was really just The Weeknd doing The Weeknd. And I think that we're not the demographic. That this is the tea. We were the demographic.
No, if that does it for you and it does it for a lot of people, then go off. But this night, to me, I was looking for excellence and that didn't reach my bar, my personal bar.
No, because I mean, think about it. We had Chappell Roan, we had Sabrina Carpenter, we have Doechii, we have all these like incredible artists who we're actually interested in. And then it was, ladies and gentlemen, to interrupt the Diva Parade, we give you the Weeknd. And it's like, okay,
nobody's really moving about this album either. It was like if there was a huge song or if it had just made a huge moment, like this album really kind of came and went. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe 5 years ago, this would have been a huge thing, but it didn't feel like it.
Well, now he's doing his stadium tour, and I saw somebody on my timeline who is a Weeknd fan say that like it just kind of feels like it's another Blinding Lights tour. And it's like,
yeah, which I'm sure is great, but what's different? Well, then he's really Cowboy Carter, different show.
If he's really going to Electroheart The Weeknd as a project, that would be incredibly interesting to me. And I would really like to see
a rodeo show. Let's do a lap around.
And like, what are you going to do next if you're not going to be The Weeknd? Are you going to come out and you're going to be able, or like, what's going to go on? So I'm interested. The Weeknd, again, I just find him a little bit more interesting than a lot of these other men who are walking around right now. Like Post Malone, like if you compare The Weeknd to Post Malone, The Weeknd, any day of the week.
Clears. He's very talented. He's very good at doing his specific thing. I think I just personally have moved on from that thing.
Well, period. Say it. And he's ready too. Apparently. Thank God he's ready too. Thank God. Okay. So Weeknd surprise performance. And then I think we have Quincy Jones tribute.
Shut up, Will Smith challenge.
Cynthia Erivo. Is that
you said? What? Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia Erivo. I apologize.
Whom we are holding space for, as
we
always.
That performance took me to a place of gospel, of church, of heaven, of angel choir. I think she's one of the most like premier vocal talents that we have right now.
Oh, one of our greatest living singers,
incredible.
Period.
Incredible. I have no words. And I love that. That's one of my favorite jazz songs. It's so random, but I love Fly Me to the Moon. It's such a good song. And she ate that and there wasn't a crumb left on the stage.
Devoured in ways we couldn't understand. Yeah. But then after that, it kind of goes into this standard. They're always dragging Stevie Wonder out here. They are always getting this man and plopping him on stage and saying, go.
You know what killed me is that, you know, when the music stopped and he like took the microphone and was just talking, I was like, this is giving me, you think that you're out back at your patio set with
but
your old
not
friend,
where we are.
Like
nope.
Having a beer and smoking a cigar, but we're on the Grammys, Stevie. Mm-hmm. And then Will Smith started doing the same thing.
It was too much. Too
long.
And
the thing is, a 2-minute Quincy Jones anecdote from Will Smith, it was five minutes. Will Smith, that's too long.
And there were two of them. He started with one and he ended with another.
Well, nominate. Again, he's got to get his stage time in somewhere. And I cheer.
Slap-a-lot has been banished from the land.
He's been banished. And it's not right. And it's not right. And it
it's not right, but he should have
right.
been banished from this evening. He really should have.
Now, let me see. Do we have anything left? Oh, Janelle Monáe. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that, amazing. And that was right after the Will Smith talked for too long. And when she
we
took
needed
the stage,
her. We needed her so bad.
Quieted. It was crazy. The way that she moonwalked, I haven't seen it done that well
her,
in a very long
she
time.
She has always really given Michael and Janet, always, with every reference
yes.
that she does. You know that song, Make Me Feel? That is so Janet coded to me. And she's just a she's an old
she's
school. Like Cynthia Erivo, she's an old school performer.
I'm thinking about Symphony Erivo again. It's true to some extent. But it's true. Yes, no, absolutely. And when she threw her jacket into the audience, who was there to catch it like a bouquet at a wedding? Taylor.
Another diva.
And immediately shrugged it on like it was nothing to her.
I bet it was cold in there.
I bet she was like, I've been waiting for this. She snatched it right out of the air the second she saw it coming. Amazing.
Butzina.
Incredible. No notes. Mm-hmm. So what do we have left here?
Is it just Charlie?
I think it might be Charlie. Yeah, I think it's Charlie. Charlie was the last performance of the night. I can't believe they saved it for last.
Very tough slot to be in.
Here's what I thought about the performance. So I got to take it from start to finish because there's things I loved and there's things I didn't like so much. I loved the opening, getting out of the limo. I'm here with my hot friends. It's giving brat. Okay, we're doing the thing. We're storming. We're walking. She's got her fur coat on. She was wearing a fur coat, wasn't she? Am I misremembering?
Yep,
she was wearing a fur coat.
No, she is. Mm-hmm.
Storming around, doing Von Dutch. Okay, I'm clapping.
The camera
and
thing.
Cheering.
Great.
The camera thing. Amazing. Incredible. We're referencing. Then she gets onto the main stage. And then it's just kind of like, I understand what she is trying to do. She's doing Brat on the Grammys. She's doing Charlie XCX the way that she has always done Charlie XCX. And to an extent, Charlie XCX is a persona. And what are you going to do? Other than do Charlie XCX on the Grammys. That being said, I just kind of felt like we could have done a little bit more.
It was giving we used all our production budget on Chapel and Sabrina, and now we're just going to bank on the fact that you have a lot of charisma to really sell this performance. Yeah. And like, I just thought that the staging was so disappointing for when she actually got onto the stage. I was like, why was there no green? Why was there no Brat green whatsoever? It was like, we should be making the whole room green. And she's really been leaning away from Brat green. I don't know why, because she like has basically in all of her appearances for it, other than that amazing 360 performance on SNL when she had the green screen. Mm. I was like, this was an opportunity to do that. And it would have been really cool, or green lighting. It was giving like when the lights come on in the club after the club is closed and everybody's still there. That's what it was giving, which is kind of not my Brat vibe that I want. And I thought even like just having levels on the stage of people partying instead of having them all just in a row, like you couldn't even really pick Charlie out from the people that were there. And the cameraman did a horrible job of following Charlie through this crowd. So you couldn't even discern where she was. And the part where she starts like banging her head and going really sicko mode, they were filming the side of her head.
We needed that front and center. That's one of my favorite parts of the guest performance when she goes.
It needed like close ups of Charlie. We needed to see more of her. And I don't want to see the Dare making out with someone. I don't give.
No, I think that the championing, that's the wrong word. What do I want to say? Like parading, that's not the right word either. Just like putting her friends on the stage.
Yeah.
We need more. And if we're going to do that, why was Troye Sivan not invited? If the Dare gets to be up there, why not Troye Sivan? Put him up there.
Well, why are we doing guests without Billy? That don't make no sense.
It was interesting, and I'm wondering if that was a conversation, and maybe Billy was like, no, or maybe Charlie was like, I don't think, I can't imagine why. All I know is it
Well, she was already performing. Maybe Billy didn't want to do it
maybe
twice,
she was
which
like,
makes
you know
sense
what?
To me.
I'm not doing that.
But don't do guests then. Do something else.
I completely agree with you that I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fine when she didn't wear green on the red carpet. I was like, you don't want to wear it every single day of your life. I get it. But to
and
not
she doesn't
do
usually wear it at all.
Green confetti, to not do a big backdrop.
There was nothing Brat.
I mean, we could have been
the
sliming.
Font.
Where was the slime?
I know.
we could have been doing so many different things.
It just felt really undercooked, I think. And I liked the beginning part too. Alex Kansani strutting alongside Charlie XCX, more of that immediately. Gabriette on the other side struggling to keep up.
I have no comment about that.
Save that for the paywall.
I have no comment about that. But
save that for the paywall.
There were things that I liked. I loved Von Dutch. But then when we got to the main stage, I found myself saying, we needed a little something else going on. I did love her outfit. She looks amazing. I mean, as we know, Charli XCX has a body.
She's always serving face and she's always serving body.
Absolutely, and Gorgina. Dance. Charismatic. She looked great. Obviously, she's auto-tuned.
She was let down by the staging.
But yeah, that I think there was a little bit more that we could have done there.
I was also surprised that it was guests, to be honest. When she started doing guests, I was like, huh.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Like, why not 365? I guess 365 has too much...
I would have just done 360 because that was nominated for Song of the Year. Like, that's really what I would have gone straight into with
Apple.
That. And she could have had Julia Fox there. And so this is the thing. She had a bunch of her celebrity friends on stage, but why is the camera zooming in on the no ones, the extras?
I didn't even know Julia Fox was there until she said, happy birthday, Julia. I literally did not know that.
I needed to be seeing Julia.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the whole thing. So.
Well.
Yeah, I think that there was perhaps maybe a little bit.
This again proves to me something that we had been saying, which is that the brat thing, the brat cultural moment, doesn't actually directly translate very well to the mainstream. This is a good example of that.
Yeah. Taylor loved it.
Taylor loved it.
We know it. Champagne poured, Jack Antonoff glasses on her face, Janelle Monáe's jacket on. Going absolutely buck wild. And it gives somebody who can't be bothered. I mean, really can't be bothered to give
in someone
to
who is so secure in their own success that they don't need to, you know, begrudge others. Love to see that.
It makes you
we
think.
We love to see that. Well, I think, should we talk about the looks really briefly before we wrap up?
Well, yes. Okay. So I have some thoughts.
Oh, also, who was your diva and your flop of the night?
Okay, so I have a number of divas. So my first diva is named Taylor Swift. My second diva is named Chappell Roan. My third diva is named Doechii. And my fourth diva is named Beyoncé. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Those are my divas.
And who was your flop of the night?
My flops are Teddy Swims, number one. Number two, Benson Boone. And number three, Will Smith's storytelling ability. Thank you.
Zero. Zero. Well, I limited myself and forced myself to just pick one. So my diva of the evening was Sabrina Carpenter.
Period.
Because I love a perfectly rolled out pop campaign. I just love it. Mm. And my flop of the evening was Trevor Noah because you are not funny. You're not funny.
Oh, we haven't been getting enough.
After seeing Nikki Glaser at the Golden Globes, I'm like, we should have left Trevor Noah in the first Trump presidency where he is mentally still at.
Yeah. Did you
see? He's not funny. He's not funny at all.
Did you see Doechii aggressively eye rolling to his jokes?
The way that he stood right beside Chappell for most of his opening monologue, and she was like,
"Me." She was like, "I."
And then she was clapping with her fan. She was using her fan to clap. I was like, "Chappell, you're a diva." Oh, also, I remember they're gonna get us if we don't talk about this. Shakira.
Oh my gosh, how could I forget? Yes, Shakira performance. And you know what? In defense of myself, Shakira always gives and always eats, and I always come to expect it. So that was no surprise to me. Absolutely Gorgina, a diva for the ages, unforgettable.
Body,
yaddy yaddy.
Ageless.
Her kids are the cutest.
Oh my God, they are
little
so
kids
cute.
On the planet Earth. They're so cute.
And they're clearly so proud of their mom, too. And I thought her acceptance speech was really sweet.
It's just Gorgina, absolutely beautiful. She's just like, it's so crazy because I feel like I grew up with her and she's always been there. Shakira
looks the same too. She literally looks the same to me.
Zach, it's
and you
scary.
Know what? She was robbed of doing a Super Bowl with the demon. It should have been Shakira Bowl.
Okay. I liked the J-Lo Shakira Super Bowl. I clapped and I cheered.
Piss tomato.
I loved it. And I
so that's on Shakira. And now you know our divas and our flops of the night. Looks, Chappell Roan. Wow.
I liked it. Her red carpet.
Classic.
Classic. I loved that the dress has also been worn by Beyonce before. She wore it for a magazine like forever ago. I love that. I love a poll from the archives. I love an archival poll. I just absolutely love it. So you can see who else has worn it, when it came from, et cetera, et cetera. Love. Gorgina.
Her drag white face also never gets old. It's a recognizable Chappell Roan thing, and I love to see it.
Her makeup all night was impeccable. Probably if I had to pick my favorite outfit she wore all night, I'm going with Pink Pony Club performance outfit. I love that outfit. It's so classic Chappell. I love pink.
Oh, yeah.
So Absolutely gorgeous.
Loved to see that. Chapel, we can always trust her to turn a look, but she's kind of like Gaga in the way that she can turn up on the red carpet wearing anything and I'll be like, yep, that's Chapel.
That's Chapel. So honestly, I think my favorite thing that she's ever worn is still her VMA's red carpet look. That will never be forgotten. That gagged me.
We'll remember that forever.
To hell and back. She was my number two best dressed, Miss Chapel.
Oh, good. Slay. Who was your number one? Was it Taylor Swift?
It was Miss Taylor Swift.
She was my number one, too.
She was my number one. I mean, we already talked about that, so we don't have to get into it. But
we're Swifties.
Diva.
Yeah.
Diva.
Charlie XCX, thoughts?
So I have her honorable mention. I liked it, and I thought it was very Charlie, her red carpet look specifically, very Charlie, beautiful. She always looks like Charlie to me. She just always looks like Charlie.
I loved the dress. Yeah. Not sure about the shoe. But I love the dress.
It was so interesting because at first I was like, the shoes don't match anything. But then I was like, it does match her hair. So I was like, you know
what? We have to give it to her.
I'm going to let her cook. And I love her commitment to never doing a damn thing to that hair. She said, this is my hair. Take it or leave it.
And this is what it looks like.
I'm going to tell you something. I would do anything to have that kind of thick, luscious, gorgeous black hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous of it. I really am. She has such beautiful hair. So
Ms. Carpenter in an icy blue gown. I think this was custom J.W. Anderson. And oh my God, it fit her in all the right places.
Always Gorgina. The thing about that look to me is that it was very Sabrina, but in a way where it's like, I kind of feel like I've seen her wear this before.
She has. She's into her old Hollywood thing.
She is. And she looks absolutely Gorgina. She always eats it. She always clears it. But it didn't make it onto my list of favorites because I just kind of felt like, there she is, you know?
I loved the color.
Yes, that particular
that
shade of
blue is really good on her.
Is so good on her. Absolutely classic.
Icy blue. All right, who else is on your list of best dressed?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yes.
She was my number three. And you know what? I saw some people saying it was boring. I disagree. A classic. Mm-hmm.
Face card.
I felt like when I was looking at her, it felt like such a particular kind of dress where it was saying, I am an adult. Do you know what I mean? And you remember this.
It's vintage.
When you saw like Taylor Swift wearing her first like, this is, I'm an adult
I'm thinking
outfit.
Of the white dress that actually is similar to this with the gold collar at the AMAs.
Yep.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. That is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. It's not just the fact that it was sexy. It's the cut of it. It's the
elegant.
Simplicity. It's the elegance of it. And it looked absolutely fucking amazing on her. And she chewed.
Mm-hmm.
Number
and
three.
And the hair was great. Oh, minimal
perfect.
Accessories.
Yes.
Love to see it.
Gorgeous. No notes.
Who else have you got?
So number four, SZA. She didn't do a red carpet. But I loved her in pink, and I loved that she had her red hair with her pink dress. I want to know how that dress stayed on because it doesn't have – it like came like
I'm
this.
Always thinking that when SZA's wearing something. I'm like, how is that not compromising you?
The body, yaddy, yaddy, impeccable, and it's in the dress just so. And I'm like, how can it be? She defies gravity, and it's incredible to me every time. She looked amazing. I absolutely loved it. my number five, this will gag you, but I have some specifications on it. So from the top up only, Gracie Abrams. from here.
I liked her look. She was doing Mother Teresa. I liked it.
I loved her glam bod. And you know, here's the thing about it. So the face card will never decline. She's an absolutely beautiful girl.
Gorgeous
that
girl.
That veil added so much to her cute little bob. And it, the way that she did her glam bot and the way that she presented herself all night was very like, you're thinking Mother Teresa, but you're also thinking like there's something very like, almost sort of like Ethel Kane meets Lana Del Rey meets like a Stevie Nicks kind of a moment. And I don't know what this is saying about what she actually does artistically or like what this is saying about her personal style. All I know is I was quieted. She looked absolutely Gorgina and I cheered.
It was Gorgina.
It really was. It really was.
Good for her. Who else have you got?
Coco Jones, number six. Honorable mention.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And that's all I have. I do have a worst dressed.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear your worst dressed.
There's only one person on my worst dressed list, and his name is Troye Sivan.
I was going to say.
What were you wearing?
Yeah.
What was that? He's a flight attendant.
Madeline texted me and said, he looks like a flight attendant. And I was like, you're right.
The little,
on Fairly Odd Parents
ascot.
Airlines.
It was a little ascot. I was like, now what is that? that?
What is
this? Is not the giving color of Troye Sivan. Not
no.
at all. It was not him at all. I don't know who
your,
that was.
Your crotchless panties out?
Well, I mean, just a little something, something, you know, for the girls.
Casey Musgraves looked really bad. She was
she
wearing
like
a
she
tank
was going
top
to the sock
and
hop
a skirt.
She yeah was going to the sock
and
hop.
She was also filling the room with negative energy every time I saw her, by the way. But that's a subject for a different day.
Her face settles that way. It settles mm-hmm in. I don't want to be here. I don't like anybody here. I'm not happy to be here. Many such cases. Many such
worst
cases
dressed, also Kanye West. There you go.
That was shocking. At first, mm-hmm, I thought that they had sincerely invited him, and I was like, that makes no sense. So then imagine my surprise when he's being forcibly removed from the arena.
Well, can anyone just go up on the carpet? Can we just show up and say, let me get our picture taken?
I think some people, because he's Kanye West, you
well
might think
yes
to yourself,
I guess some people would see him and be like, oh, obviously he's here. It makes yeah sense.
But then somebody was like, why is there a naked woman on the red carpet? That's not Grammy.
No.
That's VMA's Rose McGowan. That's not mm-hmm Grammys. No. Mm-hmm.
You're at a function, yeah, m'lady.
That was shocking.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up our thoughts on the Grammys. Overall, much better than it usually is. Has to be said.
And look how long we've been talking. We had so much to say because that's what happens when you highlight the people mm-hmm that we want to talk about and the people that we want to see. You see how that works?
You see how that works, Grammys? Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear more about our thoughts, our more unfiltered, uncensored thoughts about the Grammys, patreon.com/witchologistbaby and get your tickets, evolutionofasnake.com. Come see us live. We'll see you there. God bless.